On to item seven, consider and take possible action to authorize the CEO to execute contracts with three law firms. Gail?
Yes. So I'm sure you remember on January 10th, the Board of Retirement approved the issuance of a RFP for a disability retirement legal services. There were seven firms that submitted proposals. Those firms are included in your packet. There was a committee, an internal committee, that reviewed the proposals, and we ended up interviewing three firms. And from that, we have decided to bring it to the board to consider authorizing a panel of disability retirement counsel, and to also assist on non-disability hearing matters as they arise. So with that, we have the three firms here. I thought it would be a good idea for each of them to come in and provide a brief history of their firm and disability experience, and then after the three firms, the board.
I just had a question up front. I know the middle one, Nossman, had a 495, but is that including, now related, including something the other ones don't include?
Is that including something that the other ones don't include?
We're on item seven. I want to make sure I'm not lost.
Yeah. Like snacks. Snacks.
I just want to know ahead of time, Vivian Schultz, 185, Laughlin's 185 hourly rate, Nossman's 495. Is there something that the 495 gives you that 185 doesn't that we would pay for separately?
Not really nice office.
And coffee.
Not necessarily.
Free coffee.
Okay. A Keurig machine.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, they may charge 495, but the other one charges 185, but if we want this, we pay for that. If we want that, that's not part of this.
Is there something special that they do that the others do not do?
One area that they do have some experience in is the non-disability administrative hearing matters. They have done, it seems like, a great deal of work with the OAH.
Is that why they were selected?
On those types of items.
Is that why they were selected as well? I mean, do we have to go with three? Can we go with two? Or are we keeping them because of that unique skill?
That's what you recommend? Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So with that...
Maybe one quick question. In the interviews, is it appropriate to ask why they have that kind of differential? Let them describe it.
Sure. Right.
Yeah. Explain to us why they're twice as good.
Yeah, this is you're going to be touching why is twice the third good. Rail point. Law firms, but that's okay.
Yeah. Sam?
One question. How do we plan on
giving up the work?
Yes, thank you. Assigning the work. I'm so sorry.
You're okay.
In the pool.
Yeah, so our thinking is that the Good morning. Current cases would Good continue morning. To be represented by who's currently doing it, because mm-hmm. there's already hours in that and that kind of thing.
Okay.
And then going forward, staff, we'll determine what seems to be the
so
right
rotate,
way.
Rotating them?
What's that?
Rotating them, basically.
Round robin.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. Well, thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
I believe Gail or...
So today we have Vivian Schultz of the Law Office of Vivian Schultz, and I'll have her explain firm experience and disability experience.
Great. Well, my first question is whether you'd prefer to have me at the lectern.
No, you're fine. Your voice carries well.
My name is Vivian Schultz. I'm the principal attorney for the Law Offices of Vivian Schultz, and we're based in San Diego, California. I have been practicing disability retirement law for about 14 years now. I started my practice with a law firm in San Diego called Ducor Spradling Metzger & Wynn, and we represented San Diego County Employees Retirement Association on disability retirement hearings. They had just decoupled from county council, and they needed outside counsel to come in and advise them on disability retirement. And I had done very little, none prior to that. So I really was given a full plate of a backlog. There was about 120 applications backlogged. And so for the next couple of years, we worked through those. And some of them went to hearing. I think I ended up taking 15 to 20 to hearing those first couple of years. And those were the ones that had been sitting around for a while for want of someone to kind of sink their teeth into. So a lot of interesting cases and a lot of really interesting facts to sink your teeth into. And so I like to think that I fell into the deep end of the pool and really I really came up swinging. I really enjoyed it. So I continued to do those hearings as part of my full-time litigation practice with the Ducor firm. When my son was born in 2007, I started contracting with the firm to continue to provide those disability retirement de novo hearing representation. And I did that for a couple of years. In 2010, I became SDSERA's legal affairs consultant. And so instead of doing hearings at that point in time, I moved into a position of supervising our panel attorneys. We had three or four attorneys who were taking our applications to hearing, and then also advising staff on disability retirement issues for on the administrative recommendation side. In 2015, that function was insourced, and I continued I wanted to continue my disability retirement practice as a solo practitioner. So since then, I have represented the Imperial County Employees Retirement System. I advise on disability retirement issues. I also help staff arrive at an administrative recommendation on most disability retirement applications, and any of those applications that do go to hearing, I take them to administrative hearing. I also represent the Los Angeles County Employees Retirement Association on their conflicted cases.
And on their what cases?
Conflicted cases. They call them confidential cases, and those are the cases where either the applicant, someone closely related to the applicant, or a board member is either a LaSera employee or a LaSera board member. So if they want a little bit of separation between the legal function, because they do have an in-house law firm that kind of takes care of all of the other disability retirement issues. So that is the bulk of my practice. It's almost exclusively disability retirement law. And I have been and one of the highest priorities of my practice is to be involved with other disability retirement attorneys and systems, and I'm constantly dealing with professional development and also development of my understanding of the law, of interpretation of the law, and the ability to represent disability retirement systems on the SERL side in that matter, both for advice and for de novo hearings.
Your Tier 3 disability for non-safety is unique. Are you familiar with it?
Is that non-legacy PEPRA?
Substantial gainful employment?
I'm not familiar with that that legal standard. That's one of the reasons why I was so excited to be able to provide a proposal for CCSERA, because after 15 years, you kind of feel like you get to know it all.
Right.
So this will be a new area for me, and substantial gainful employment. I imagine there are either resources or fact patterns that CCSERA has developed over time because of the standard, and I'm anxious to get started and increase my expertise on that.
Thank you.
Jerry?
Do you still represent San Diego and Imperial and LaSera?
I do not represent San Diego
anymore
because they've insourced that function, and so now they have in-staff attorneys who handle their disability retirement.
So how big is your firm?
My firm is me, myself, and I.
Okay.
There's three.
So my question is...
I have three associates.
Not that we're going to be... You have three associates?
No, me, myself.
Oh, okay, got it.
Myself and my attorneys as well.
She has your sense of humor.
I got it.
Hello, Jared.
You know, she free associate? What did you say?
There's medication that will help
us
both.
And therapy, yeah.
So what... Do you have the bandwidth? Not that we're responsible for bringing up cases week after week after week, but what kind of bandwidth have you got with your remaining three clients and us, or two clients?
I do have bandwidth, and I do have capacity to take on more de novo hearings. I have currently four hearings that are on my plate, and I have capacity to take on even more of that. And I do have the ability, and I understand what bandwidth is needed for a fuller time practice. And I don't have a good sense yet of how many cases CCSERA would want me to take on, but if we get to capacity, I will either increase capacity by having additional people come in to assist, or I'll have a frank discussion with leadership on what my role is and how much they'd like me to take on. When I started doing work on the disability side for Imperial County, it was only for a couple of cases, and then that grew into more of an integrated role on providing disability retirement advice on the investigation side of things. And I was really able to grow very seamlessly with how that business ramped up, and I'm confident that I could do that with CC Sarah as well.
Okay. Thank you.
What law school did you go to?
I went to the University of San Diego School of Law. My undergrad was from the University of Southern California.
Other questions? Great. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, such a pleasure.
Thank you. Wait, one quick question.
Yes.
One more. You're in San Diego?
Yes.
We have cases that are up here.
Right.
Will you be flying back and forth or working out of your office? How often will you be available to come up here if it's necessary? Because it probably will be necessary.
The answer to your questions, all of them, is yes.
Okay.
I do represent systems that are not in San Diego for reasons because of the nature of the business. I am available to come to board meetings. I'm available to come meet with staff, and I'm available for hearings. One of the great things about this kind of practice is that none of that happens at 2 o'clock in the morning. So there's usually a lot of ability and flexibility to be able to schedule those issues. And I've been very successful doing that so far. So.
Okay. Thank you, Vivian.
Thank you for not making me stand at
the podium.
You had your associates up there.
Right. Haven't had one of those cases yet, but looking forward to it.
See you.
Thank you.
Gil, did you know her then? Because
I knew of her. I didn't work directly with her.
Okay. She was there at the same time.
Billing and such ran through accounting.
Okay. So you never had one-on-one?
I didn't.
Okay, I was just curious.
Very favorable things about her. Scott likes his seat today.
No, he doesn't. Or he's just exploring the room.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So today we have Nasiman joining us. They're going to provide a brief overview of their firm and disability experience.
Good morning again. My name is John Kennedy. I'm a partner with the Nasiman Law Firm. We've been in existence since this is our 76th year. We started in LA. We now have 5 offices in California. Austin, Texas, Washington, D.C., and a Seattle office. We do work in all kinds of areas, but one of our major practice area industries is public pensions. Allison and I are part of that public pension team. We provide fiduciary counsel to a number of public pensions. We provide investment counsel, and Allison and I and some of our colleagues provide disability retirement litigation work. Kind of narrow it down to that topic since that's why we're here. And Alice and I are from our Sacramento office. I started doing work with the Sacramento County Retirement System with disability retirement issues probably about 10 to 12 years ago. Back then, Jim Lyne was their in-house counsel, and they asked us to do overflow because they were using county counsel. Since then, we've just developed a system. You know, our first couple cases said, you guys are really expensive. Thanks for taking care of a couple of those cases. But you know, we'll call you if we need you again. And the next time they call us, we did it more efficiently and more effectively. Now we have a regular system where we get a number of cases, and we've created a process of being very as efficient as we can with every case, and we're coming up with creative methods for resolving cases so that we can get more of them done. And we've actually been told, although the fees, legal fees are a little bit higher, that the actual cost is less than what the county does for them, because we use experts less as witness, we don't take extra discovery that we don't need to do, and we move the cases along efficiently. I'm going to have Allison talk to you briefly just a little bit about what she's done with me so that you guys get a sense of both of us who are here.
Hi, I'm Allison Callahan. I'm an associate in the Sacramento office. I've been working with John now for almost 3 years, and he has really taught me how to litigate disability retirement cases during that period of time. So I've handled almost 20 separate matters on behalf of the Sacramento County Employees Retirement System. Some of those went to hearings, some were record reviews, some the applicant withdrew. So I've seen a variety of different types of issues arise through my work in those particular cases.
So that's a little bit about us.
Anyone have any questions?
One question came up before you came in. Your hourly rate's $495, the other two are $185. So what are we getting for the additional amount?
So we have two things that we really offer. The first one, as I said, we have a public pension practice that knows about your industry in its entirety. And so how disability matters determine, you know, issues that impact your fees that you need to get for your employers. How issues that might become before your board affect your fiduciary duties, how your investments are doing, and we're familiar with that's part of your primary goal under the California Constitution is to increase the value of the fund. We're aware of the whole thing, and we work for a number of industries, systems and plans. So what we're bringing is a more of a global knowledge of your business. And I say business because I'm a business lawyer, but of your system and your purposes and goals and what you need to do as fiduciaries for the organization and what you need to do for your members. So that's number one. The other one is we know we're more expensive, so we've really created Sacramento County Retirement System, we created a system that worked with their bylaws, here your guys' would be your hearing policies, to create a process that was more efficient. So even though we might cost a little bit more in fees, we got more cases resolved more quickly, which is another important thing for your membership and the people who you're serving, than the county council who had a volume of cases and a way of doing it, and they just did it that same way. Each time we get a case, if we could figure out a more efficient way to get it done than the last one, we incorporate it into our system. Our team members are all on a checklist. We go through the checklist for each case, and we modify our checklist when we find a new way or a new way to approach a case. So we ultimately become, even though more of a legal spend, it's less of an overall spend for the retirement system.
Got it. Thank you.
Are you representative for any other 37 Act counties, or is SAC the only one?
So for disability retirement specifically, just Sacramento.
What about any other public pension systems that are not 37 Act, but CalPERS, CalSTRS?
I wasn't quite finished with the first part.
Sorry.
It's okay. with the disability hearings, we do writ proceedings, the appellate proceedings for other systems, 37 Act systems, Marin, and a few others as well, that we actually do the superior court work as opposed to the disability administrative hearings. Administrative hearings, a little bit different animal than going to state court and superior court, and not everybody has that experience. We actually had that experience before we started doing disability work and applied it to the disability cases. Because we're in Sacramento, we had a lot of experience with administrative hearings and law and the process. So we have done other work for other systems at the superior court level. We do not any other system either. Have we done actually disability hearings? But we have the experience of a variety, medical board licensing cases, state contractors license board cases, psychology board cases, real estate department cases. All of these cases heard before the Office of Administrative Hearings, which is one of your available right. hearing officers, state personnel board for personnel matters. I've even had a case once before the administrative agency for the California Environmental Protection Agency. We're experts in the Administrative Procedure Act and administrative law.
Okay. Where did you get your law degree?
McGeorge School of Law.
Where did you get
yours? I went to UC Davis.
UC Davis? Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Certainly.
Any other questions for our guests?
The question came up before about Tier 3, whether or not they have any experience with
Tier
that.
Tier 3?
The substantial gainful employment provision here in Contra Costa?
Yeah, you guys are special. We would love to work with you with that standard because yeah. it would be much easier for us in the cases that we would have to present, but we have not because it's not part of Sacramento's it only applies to you folks. It doesn't apply to Sacramento. And so we've always had to do, you know, just substantial performance of your job duties. This is a much higher standard. We looked at it and we drooled. Sorry.
Thank you.
Anything else? Great.
Well, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
No, you need to raise.
Yes.
She actually came to the interview.
I like the way you think.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. We know you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
What would you like to know? It's a pleasure to be here today. I can't believe it's 4 years since we were doing this before. I think a lot has changed for the better. Do you want to hear my spiel? I'm Susan Hastings. I'm with Lachlan Falbo, Levy & Morasi. We have 11 offices statewide in California. We do primarily workers' compensation defense, but we also supplement our primary practice with disability retirement, subrogation, and various other connected employment issues for our clients. My practice over the past 17 years with Lachlan Falbo is centered primarily on public agency practice, and that developed into the disability retirement practice. Through CICERA. It's been an honor to work with your staff, to work with your members in getting the disability retirement hearings conducted, and working with you in the reports and recommendations and dealing with the various issues and personalities that come along with it. Since being on contract, since 2014, I inherited about 26 pending cases in various stages of the hearing process. Maybe a quarter of them at the most were represented. Most members are not represented, which presents a challenge. We've seen that in some of the board meetings that we've had. And it's a challenge because not only do you have to remain compassionate to them, and you also have to do explanations to them of the system and the requirements and the process, and without giving them legal advice, because that's not our role. Our role is to do the disability retirement process. But you also have people who don't understand and ask you questions, and they want your advice. So, you know, you tread that fine line, but it's about being compassionate and informative to them, and presenting the hearings in a way that can pass muster should they be challenged. So of the 26 cases and then new cases coming along, we've conducted 22 hearings. It's resulted in 16 non-grants, recommendations for non-grants, 6 grants. 14 cases have had recommendations without a hearing, either based on a certain amount of discovery on non-grants or service connection, and a couple were withdrawn during the discovery process. We also helped, assisted in the callback hearings. Those have been put on the, I think, on the back burner for now, as far as I know. But we had 17 of those matters that we dealt with. We currently have 24 files open. 2 are pending with writs. Those will be those go to hearing in June in civil court. And we've talked about those. I've given you updates on those before. 3 are pending hearings that have been scheduled. 12 are into various discovery phases. 4 of them are closing. We hold on to a file until the 90 days have passed when they can file a writ, but there have been non-grants, and so we just kind of hold them open until the time has passed. And then there are 3 pending before the board, one, you're going to be reviewing some documents. Others, another one is a remand, which we're waiting on for the judge's revision, hopefully, of his decision. And then one is being reviewed again by the medical advisor. So I think we're on track to keeping on track with getting these moved through the process, getting the hearings conducted, the recommendations in, and getting, you know, moving them through the process. Any questions?
Jerry.
The other two firms, it was interesting. I appreciate your perspective. The other two firms don't have experience with the substantial gainful employment, you know, tier three.
Right.
And one of them at least voiced admiration, you know, excitement at the idea, drooling, I believe, was the expression he used, at the possibility of, I guess, having that on their side as they represented us. My experience has been that that's actually been more challenging when it comes to the hearings because of the educational effort that we have to go through or you have to go through to try and get the ALGs to understand, and also the disagreements, the inherent disagreements. You consider the Tier 3, not that we can do anything about it, but the Tier 3 standard to be an advantage generally, or is it actually a greater challenge?
It is a very strict standard, right? So that in that regard, it is a very difficult standard for a person to meet. And it can't just be met by a doctor just saying you can't work or you can't do any work. It takes a lot more analysis. So that brings on a different, a more, you know, that makes it easier, right? Because the bar is set pretty high and you have to do so much to get to it. But on the other hand, like you said, it provides that challenge with educating not only the member, because the members don't understand it. And so they need to understand what the tier three standard is and what's required of them. And then, of course, it is educating the hearing officers. And, you know, we've seen some decisions or some reports and recommendations where they didn't apply it correctly. And so we've been and working with staff and working with our experts in trying to formulate the best way in which that can be presented through their reports and through our hearing and trying to, you know, figure it out. I came in sort of into a blank position in a sense. I didn't have someone to say, well, how was it done in the past? And, you know, I had a few cases that I had examples of, but people retired and people left, and so we kind of, and new people came in, so we created some more standard procedures in getting to the hearing process, number one, and then how we were going to put forth all of the evidence, especially with the tier three, to the hearing officers. And I think we've been developing it. There's maybe even some improvements we can make. It may cost a little bit more money to do that, but that's something we can explore. So I think there are challenges. It is a challenge.
You said let them know, be careful what they wish for?
Yeah.
Except they
that's
can
what my managing partner told me 4 years ago.
You said we came up with, you mean Sisera now has that, or is that your law office that's...
No, I mean Sisera, because, okay. Yeah. Because I work in conjunction with
right.
the disability counselors and Tim Hoppe as far as, you know, getting all the information, you know, and how we proceed, because you're my client.
Right.
Susan, Sisera is my client. Could you talk a little bit about the team that supports you within your firm and in that discussion, do you serve any other 37 Act plans or retirement plans?
This is my only 37 Act plan, and it is a part-time, it's part of my caseload. It's not all the only work that I do. I have a dedicated paralegal who is indispensable to me, who helps me considerably. I don't have an associate presently, just through attrition and people, you know, developing their caseload. But my plan is to, when we do a new hire of an entry-level associate, is to do some more training and have somebody, you know, a backup. So from my office perspective, I have, first and foremost, I have the disability counselors here at CICERA who give me all the information, you know, in the files and will assist in getting me whatever I need from the counties. And then my own office with my paralegal, and I will have another associate assist me. Now, I mean, our firm is statewide, so we've, you know, we've represented other retirement systems in Southern California. We have a wide, you know, breadth of attorneys and of experience, whether it's civil litigation, workers' comp, or, you know, the administrative hearing process.
Where are you actually located?
My office is located in Oakland, and that's where our headquarters are and where I, where my office is. We are opening up a Concord office probably next year. Either it will be late this year or next year. And so we will have a Concord office, which I'm pleased to say we'll be close to all of you. That could help if we needed a place for hearings, if, you know, the space isn't available here for CICERA, that might make some of the hearings scheduling more efficient. And it also cuts out on travel time and whatnot.
Susan, in terms of the Tier 3 standard, I don't know this myself, are there other systems that have a standard, counties that have a standard that is that strict, or is it anything similar to that standard?
Nope. This is the only one, and it's the Tier 3 standard is under Government Code 31720.1, and it's specifically, that's a government code, and it specifically says this is unique to Contra Costa County Employee Retirement Association. Mm. So, yeah.
What are the other standards that would be for other SRL systems that would meet that level of classification for employee or member?
I'm not aware of any that are that way. I mean, they, I haven't researched that.
Just
I'm
curious.
Sorry, yeah. I haven't, you know what, when I meet with the disability retirement attorneys, and there's a roundtable that we have two meetings a year is great. And in fact, one of the attorneys that was interviewing earlier is part of that. And they all look at me like, what? We don't have that. And so they've ever seen it, and they don't have that standard.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Anyone have anything else for Susan?
Great. I do not.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, thank you.
Thanks, Susan.
So can I ask a couple of questions of Gail? Or, is the goal to increase the bandwidth? Because it sounds like why are we looking at three firms as opposed to the one that we have now?
Yeah, no, that's a good question.
Good, I was hoping to have
I think that it serves a few different purposes. One being to expand the bandwidth. And so, you know, Susan's been doing a good job with us. Obviously, you know, we're looking at continuing that relationship. But I think it's also looking at having some other firms lined up. So, you know, Susan knows us really well, but if something were to change there, it would be good to have some other firms on deck to assist in disability matters and be up to speed somewhat with that as well. And then also, there's not a lot of, I wouldn't anticipate a lot of conflict areas that would come up. I mean, we haven't had any with Laughlin Falbo in the last few years, but, you know, we also have that benefit. And then, you know, Nossaman, their experience, they've had a great deal of experience with the OEH on disability and non-disability matters. That's one other piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, I sense with Nossaman that we're gonna pay for the educational effort. and it's going to be considerable as they ramp up their understanding of Tier 3 and everything else. So they may talk about their various efficiencies and whatnot, but I got a feeling there's going to be some sticker shock in the first few cases as compared to what our past experience has been. And that they may not, I'm presupposing this, they may not be able to come down to a sort of a normal billing rate. They're always, I don't mean rate, per case rate.
Right.
And they're going to be higher most of the time, and maybe considerably higher.
And I think also part of it as well is taking a look at folks' different approaches on it and having a fresh set of eyes to take a look at our process and see if there's things that we can do to tweak it, you know, to get quicker turnaround times. Although we know, you know, granted, part of that is dependent on when members or doctors or employers are giving us information. But just, you know, it's not a bad idea to have, you know, fresh eyes take a look at our process and see if there's any tweaks. And I think that as we go forward, and that's also why, you know, in my memo it says on a as needed basis. So I think that staff, we can make a determination on, okay, who's going to get this one next, and you know, we'll make appropriate adjustments because obviously we're a fiduciary fund and we're going to do things to be efficient and effective. So
I follow up on his question.
Oh, good. Well, oh no, I was pointing to Jerry.
Jim, sorry. Have you talked with Sac County at all about this firm that we're referring to?
Yeah, actually, Christina Dunn and myself did their reference checks with them, talked of the type of work they do for them, the relationship, as well as the quality of the work. It was more related, again, to the disability matters.
Yes.
And NASABET has, I mean, the strength is on maybe the non-disability matters, which we don't see with the other two.
The question was going to be, and maybe part of that, though, are you looking at spreading the wealth and just giving each one cases, or you want to be specific, saying, I think this firm handles this type of case better?
Potentially. It's something that we're going to be assessing as we go along. Right. Yeah. And you know, Karen, being general counsel, she as well has a relationship with each of the legal firms that Cicera deals with. Did you have any additional comments, Karen?
Well, I would, maybe this is a good opportunity to go over the differences between the Disability Council and Council for the Board. So the Disability Council represents Cicera in this hearing process, up to and including receiving a report and recommendation from the ALJ. Then when the matter goes before the Board, the Disability Council's role is still to represent Cicera and explain why the hearing officer was correct or not correct in the conclusion of the recommendation. And then the attorney for the board, which is me, or the fiduciary counsel, Mark Lederman, will advise the board on its options and answer questions when it comes to making a decision on whether or not to adopt the recommendation by the ALJ. There is additionally an ethical wall that we have to maintain between this side, the side that advises the board in its decision-making process, and the side that acts as a an advocate for Cicera, and that's the Disability Legal Council. So there's an ethical wall between us. We never discuss pending hearing matters, those that are pending before the OAH.
This would add yet two more firms that you have to manage, if you will, to manage the relationships, if not the specific cases. And I understand the distinction there. But it's more billing rates, more comparisons of how they're handling particular cases. Have you guys got the bandwidth to do yet two more firms?
Well, in keeping with the ethical role, the ethical wall, my role is not to review invoices from those disability legal counsel. That is Tim Hockey's role. So maybe you can address that.
Let me just see how that was tossed right back to you, Tim.
I don't see myself as managing these law firms.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right?
So Tim, do you see this as something that you've got the bandwidth to be able to handle yet two more firms? I mean, you're constantly back and forth, well, not as much as you may have been with with the current relationship because it's been there for a while, but you're going to be on an educational, you know, high upswing on two new firms.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that is, you know, partially true on bringing in different personalities and processes, and each of us becoming familiar with each other. But each one of our disability cases, I mean, the ones we're actually talking about that go, say, right now to Susan Hastings, are the hearing cases only. And the volume of hearing cases is only, you know, a fraction of the number of applications that have come in. And if we go back a couple of meetings ago, we did the semi-annual update. Mm-hmm. We, you know, normally we accept 25 to 30 applications a year. I mean, it does, you know, sometimes we'll hit as high as 40. But at 25 to 30 applications a year, I think you'll recall a high number of those were safety. Very rarely have we had a safety application go to hearing. We have had a few, but not very many. Most of the hearings are substantial gainful employment or tier three group, and understanding, you know, I can't do my job, therefore I can't work, I'm disabled.
Right.
Substantial gainful employment basically says if you can sit in the parking lot or be the security guard, you're employable. And so each one stands on its own, and we're not talking new hearing cases. I mean, our volume, I'm trying, you know, what is the volume if we have like 25 applications? Probably less than 10 go to hear, will request a hearing. And that's when it would be turned over to one of the legal firms.
And we looked at that, and it's between 6 and 10 a year. Yeah. We were talking about that.
Yeah, and it varies, but it's really the substantial gainful employment issue.
Yeah.
You've seen Dr. Cottle's or Mr. Cottle's reports on the vocational side.
Many.
You've seen the hearing recommendations and so forth. But that is kind of the big challenge due to that understanding of it, interpretation, and then you're bringing the individual personalities and opinions.
So not to put you on the spot too badly, but I will. You support increasing the size of the stable?
I'd say in the case of looking at it now, yeah, I mean, I would look at it that they all bring different resources and support to SACERA and will make us a better organization overall. I think Nassiman, I mean, Susan Hastings mentioned the callback hearings. That is something that Nassiman may have been able to handle or take on with their resources. They have a breadth of resources way beyond just disabilities.
Okay.
And then on Vivian Schultz, she has a remarkable background, also a lot of experience and maybe, you know, fresh eyes and keeping things, I mean, that's her specialty, is really almost disability, where Susan Hastings, it's a balance between work comp and our disabilities. I think on average, I mean, the last couple of bills I've seen from Susan, we're probably, I'm gonna say roughly, about 20 hours a month in billing. I mean, for the volume of work, it's not a huge number.
Jerry?
Yeah, I have always been in favor of fresh eyes or auditing people that we currently have, doing work for us. And so I'm really in favor of this recommendation, specifically for that. And what will happen is a year from now, we will have a much better perception as to how Susan compares to the other two firms, because we have no perception right now. It has been Susan for most of us that are sitting on this board. So I would support the recommendation right down the line. And so that's where I'm at.
Is that a motion?
And I'll second your motion.
Yeah,
I think
I'll
it's helpful for us to have that. I like Susan, but I don't know if she's always right, because I don't have the ability to compare it to someone else. Mm-hmm. Does she feel badly that we're hiring these additional firms? Has she expressed that to anyone, that she'll clearly be losing a certain amount of work because we'll be doling it out?
I haven't had that contact directly with her.
Okay, not that
she
it
may
matters.
Have. I don't. Know.
I mean, it's irrelevant to the motion, but I'll second Jerry's motion.
Well, she's probably seen the.
She knows what.
Yeah, the staff report. Yeah. So she must be aware that we're. Yeah.
David.
Is there any retainer fee, or is it just a pay as you use?
Pay as you use.
So, yeah. Really is no downside, right? Just whether or not extra money.
Except for the law firm from SAC. If we use them a lot, they might get a little more money.
But
it's worth it to see. Maybe one or two cases from those people to get us a comparison would be, fine.
I think he moved the recommendation.
All three points at one time?
Yeah.
Is that the motion?
That's what the motion, that's what Jerry, I understood.
Yes.
The motion I seconded to be so make it up something else.
It's all three.
Clarifying the motion is the person who seconded it.
Yeah. any more discussion or questions? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion passes.